Mark 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with the disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels."
Thanks, David. Let's just pray together before we look at this. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it and we can look at it. But we pray more than that tonight, that you would speak to us through it. And that we would be receptive to the challenges that you want to bring. Amen. So like I said, tonight is the last week in our little series through the Gospel of Mark. And so we've been looking at the sort of key themes and the key questions that are asked throughout the Gospel. So we began by looking at the identity of Jesus. So who is Jesus? What did he show about himself? And we looked in particular about the incident of the calming of the storm and how Jesus was able to command the wind and the waves to be still, and they were still. And then we considered the question of why Jesus came. And we were reminded that his main priority, his main goal was to deal with the problem of sin. So the barrier that was our relationship with God. We then looked at the question, why did Jesus die? And came to the answer that he died so that barrier could be taken away. So Jesus' death on the cross made it possible for relationship to be restored with God. And then we looked just a couple of weeks before Easter, we considered, why did Jesus rise? So why was it important that he came back to life? And in that, recognizing that we could have life because Jesus himself rose back to life. And so that he didn't just die, and so therefore we are left to die, but that he died and rose again, as we've sung already this evening. And then just before Easter, we looked at how can God accept us, and we considered the concept of grace together and how we come to God not under our own merits, under anything that we've done, but that we come as children, completely dependent on his grace to act and move in our lives. And so the final question that we're considering tonight is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And we're going to look particularly at those verses that David read to us in Mark chapter 8. And we're really going to center into the key phrase in verse 34. That if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so we're just going to look at each of those three strands, those three things about what it means to be a disciple. Jesus began his ministry saying to repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of heaven is near. And throughout the Gospel of Mark, in different moments, he builds a bigger picture of what it means to be a disciple. He sets an example of what it means to live a holy life. And so in this verse in particular, that comes in the context of Jesus having told them what's going to happen to him, that he himself is going to die, that he himself is going to be abused by the chief priests and is going to suffer many things. And as Peter takes him aside and says, that can't be so, Jesus says, it must be. And then tells everybody what it means to be a follower of his. And so we're going to look at what it means to deny ourselves, what it means to take up our crosses, and what it means to follow Jesus. So that first phrase, to deny ourselves. What does it mean to deny something? When I was preparing, I was thinking about how often access is denied. So maybe you're not allowed into a particular area. And so therefore, you know, you don't have the clearance to get through. But the denying that Jesus is talking about isn't a kind of access denied. But the denying that Jesus is talking about is a letting go of our own desires and our own wants to live selfishly. That's the challenge that Jesus is bringing to people. That it's about denying yourselves, about, you know, we sang earlier that Jesus is our king. And so if someone is your king, that means they're your top and your number one priority. They're the ruler of the kingdom. And so if we are welcomed into God's kingdom, if we're part of his family, we take his rule in our lives. And so that means denying ourselves. And that can come in many different forms for each of us. And in the different stages of our lives, it might mean different things. So at times it might mean putting a relationship aside because that's not what God has for us. It might mean career choices that are uncomfortable. It might mean making decisions in your family life that actually cause you more hardship. It might be about your comfort, about the life that perhaps you've become accustomed to, that actually when we decide to be a disciple and we decide to follow Jesus, that by denying ourselves, we're saying, well, I'm no longer living just for me and my comfort. And so we decide to focus on Jesus. And so in these words that Jesus used, he's not promising anybody an easy life. The life of a disciple is not an easy life. But there is life to be had with Jesus as a disciple of his. Tim Hughes wrote the song, Take My Life and Let It Be Everything, All of Me. Here I am, use me for your glory. All of me, all of ours, all of us, all of our finances, all of our personality, all of our gifts, our skills, our time. To deny ourselves is to give priority to Jesus in all of those different aspects. And so the life of a disciple is a difficult one. And Jesus encouraged those who were following him in the crowds elsewhere to count the cost of being a disciple. That it isn't something that you just go into blindly. Amy and I help out on a residential in the summer that's kind of a week away for children and young people. For them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to experience love and the kind of family life of Christians. And as we do that, we invite the young people to make a response. But it's our responsibility to ensure that they know what they are responding to. So it's not, hey, come and follow Jesus, he's the best, which of course he is. But to put to them what it might cost them socially at school, what it might cost them in their family lives. And we're not just talking about money, the cost that we're asked to count. One of the hardest times at one of those residentials was when Amy's cousin came along and heard the message and wasn't from a Christian background. And he came to us after one of the main meetings and said, do you know, I can't be a Christian because it had cost me too much. And actually that was heartbreaking to hear. But it was affirming to know that actually he knew that it would cost him. And actually later on in that week, he did decide to follow. And we didn't convince him or anything. It was a complete work of the Holy Spirit in his life. But if you are following Jesus, then there's going to be a cost involved. I don't know, that might be news to some of you. It might be that no one's really explained to you that following Jesus means actually that we're no longer in charge of our own lives. but we let Jesus take charge of it for us. And so Jesus invites those who are following him to deny themselves. And then secondly, he says they are to take up, or we're to take up our crosses. He says take up his cross. And so we remembered at Easter, particularly on Good Friday, that Jesus himself went to death on a cross. And he uses that imagery, and this is before his death, he uses that imagery to say that each day you have to take up your cross. And so I don't know where each of you have put your palm crosses that perhaps you were given on Good Friday, or where you might have an emblem that you'll wear into work. But that is something that we are to do every day, to take up our cross. And so what did it mean for Jesus to take up a cross, to die on a cross? Well, it meant sacrifice, and it meant pain. It meant being rejected by his family, by his friends, by those he had come to save. For Jesus, his death on the cross meant separation from God for a moment. And Jesus counted that cost, and he said that it was worth it. He said, I'm going to carry my cross. And so that's the call that he gives to his disciples. For us in the West, well, in this country, it's not going to cost us our lives. But we know of Christians elsewhere in the world who are persecuted for their faith. Well, actually, to take up their cross literally means to go to death. We can hear it through organizations like Open Doors and CSW about those who do take up their cross. And for them, it does mean death. But for us, it's that death to ourselves. It's that putting aside our sinful nature and putting on the life of Christ. For those who have been baptized, the imagery that is tied into that act of going down into the waters of death, of leaving that in the grave and then coming back up to new life out of the waters. For those who are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, is to take up our cross. There is a sacrifice there. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation as well as other books, wrote one particularly looking at discipleship. And his sort of main title of that book, how he summed it up, was that discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction. So a disciple is different from a convert. So our conversion happens at that moment in which the Holy Spirit has worked in our lives and reveals to us that Jesus is who he says he is, that he has plans for our lives. But to be a disciple is to be more than just a one moment in time, but it's an everyday decision that we're to make, a long obedience in the same direction. So for us, as long as we live, we're to be disciples. That's the calling on us. In the parallel passage to this in Luke, Luke records that Jesus says to take up our cross daily. So it's a daily decision. A daily decision for the rest of our lives to follow Jesus. And again, that's not always easy. There'll be times when it's easier than others, but there'll be times when it will be difficult and it will cost us something. But that is the nature of the cross. That is the nature of taking up our cross. And in both of these instances, in denying ourselves, in taking up our cross, we're doing that third thing of following Jesus. You know, Jesus is not a hypocrite. He doesn't ask something of those who are following after him that he hasn't gone through himself or that he wasn't willing to do himself. So Jesus denied himself. Jesus in Philippians is described as not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself and became a man. So he denied part of his right, part of who he is. And he took up his cross, as I said earlier. And so we're following him. In the passages that follows in chapter 9, we see the transfiguration. And in that, when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and as a cloud envelops them, and then the voice of God speaks over them. says, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." So again, this pulls a thread from Jesus' baptism earlier on in Mark, where the Father spoke over the Son, that "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And so the call of a disciple is to follow Jesus, and that means to listen to him. Jesus wants to speak to us through his word. Jesus wants to speak to us through the counsel of other believers. Jesus wants to speak to us through creation when we're out and enjoying the sunshine. And he wants to speak to us when we're out in the misery of the rain. Jesus wants to speak to us and challenge us. For those who follow, for those who are disciples, they're given the Holy Spirit who will inspire thoughts, images, prayers in us. All tools to grow in discipleship. What does Jesus ask of his disciples? Well, he asks them to come and follow him. He asks them to die. And he asks them to live with him. So it's not just come and die, as if that is the end of the story, and as we celebrated last Sunday, that Christ is risen, that we have life available to us. So eternal life isn't just something that starts when our physical bodies die, but our eternal life starts now. We can live and know fullness of life with Jesus now. During the walk of witness here in Headingley with churches together, we read these words as part of our service together that really struck me then, and as I was preparing, kind of brought them back to mind. And it says this about the life of a disciple. It says, "I would rather be here with you than anywhere else without you. I would rather have nothing and be with you than have everything else without you. I would rather be mocked and ridiculed with you than be living comfortably and well thought of, but without you. I would rather hold to your truth and take the consequences than live an easy life." And the words of that prayer echo those from here, where Jesus says in verse 35, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but for whoever who loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." So in losing our lives, in denying ourselves, in taking up our cross and following Jesus, we gain life, and life in all its fullness. And so in being a disciple, it's a lifelong thing. As Eugene Peterson said, a long obedience in the same direction. That's the whole of our lives. And so that's a massive calling, isn't it? That's something that we all need help with. This morning, you may have watched some of the London Marathon taking place and seen those runners who commit to getting ready for that race. The closest I've come to the London Marathon is watching Run, Fat Boy, Run with Simon Pegg. And in that film, Simon Pegg's character Dennis, in order to run the marathon, he has like his own little sort of cheerleading squad. And in the end, when it comes to race day, he trips and gets injured and then keeps going. And then he just keeps going. And then the community kind of surrounds him and cheers him on. Some are cheering him on because they've put a bet on him finishing, so they want him to finish. Others are cheering him on because they're part of his family and part of his community. But to be a disciple is a lifelong thing. And so that's no easy thing. And so for us to do that with perseverance, we need one another. Again, during the Good Friday Walk of Witness, we shared different accounts of kind of people who were there at the cross. And I read Simon of Cyrene. So the guy who is on the street with Jesus and is asked to carry Jesus' cross with him. And afterwards I was thinking, there's probably more to that than I realize. That Jesus lets somebody else carry his cross. That Jesus didn't say, "No, actually, I've got this. I'm going to carry on and do it myself." And so in that way, Jesus models to us that in carrying our crosses, that we are to rely on others. So yes, we can rely on Jesus who daily carries our burdens, but we can rely on one another to carry our burdens, to support each other, to pray with one another, to encourage one another. So as we persevere, we're to be accountable to each other. Because we're running for a prize that isn't just a goodie bag at the end of a race, and it's not a Flora marathon medal anymore, or a medal from the marathon. But we're running for a prize of being welcomed into the arms of the Father and saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, child of mine." And so as we seek to do that as disciples, that's a challenge, and that's something that we need one another's support in. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? I've maybe not painted that great a picture this evening because it sounds like it's difficult. And it is. It is difficult. But there is joy to be had. When we sacrifice things, we don't do it grudgingly and cling on, but we give up joyfully. We went on holiday to Port Maddock just this last week, and we spent some time on the sand at the beach, and we were building sandcastles. And just as we're doing that, and as you hold on to the sand, the tighter you hold on, the quicker you lose the sand. And Grace was ultimately getting very frustrated when she was trying to pick it up with her hands. We did have a spade, but she chose not to use it. Picking up the sand in her hands, by the time she got to the bucket, it had gone out. And that's an image that has been used in other times. If we try to hold on to the sands of time, as people would have it, then if we hold on too tightly, then they go through our hands quicker. And so as we think of our life, we're not to hold on tightly and give up grudgingly, but we're to hold on to things lightly, recognizing that Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. That's what we remembered last week. No one comes to the Father except through him.